President Trump is continuing to conduct foreign policy on Twitter. Today he tweeted, "Iran has been formally put on notice for firing a ballistic missile. Should have been thankful for the terrible deal the U.S. made with them." Trump's national security advisor Michael Flynn had said yesterday that Iran is on notice after it tested a ballistic missile and after Iranian-backed rebels in Yemen attacked a Saudi Arabian warship. NPR senior Washington editor and correspondent Ron Elving is with us to talk about that and more. Hi, Ron.
Happy Groundhog Day, Jeremy.
Yes, thank you. And you as well. What does the Trump administration mean by saying Iran has been put on notice?
It's an ambiguous phrase, but certainly a menacing one. It says, if you continue to do things we regard as provocative, we will regard it as a provocation. And that could mean that we would retaliate in some way. These things could be seen as largely symbolic on one level. On the other hand, an ICBM test, a ballistic missile, I shouldn't call it an ICBM because it was not an intercontinental ballistic missile, but a ballistic missile test nonetheless, is a troubling thing for a country that has been hostile to us and that we have been hostile towards to be doing. And, of course, also this attack on this Saudi ship, which was not directly done by Iran but by some of their sponsored elements. So troubling, certainly, not yet at the level where people need to be losing sleep over it.
And what about what's going on with Australia, one of the U.S.'s closest allies? The Australian Prime Minister Malcolm Turnbull reportedly asked Trump to honor an agreement that President Obama had signed in November to resettle refugees from Australia. They talked, the two leaders did, on Saturday, and that apparently did not go over well with Trump. And then Trump tweeted yesterday calling it a dumb deal. Remind us what this deal was and how did we get to the point where there's such a fight between the U.S. and Australia?
Yes, let's remember that Australia has been with the United States in terms of international actions and military actions more consistently than any other country since World War I. But in this particular case, we have our president calling it a dumb deal and the Australian president calling it a done deal. And in fact, it's 1,250 refugees coming mostly from those countries in the Middle East, such as Iran, Iraq, Syria, Somalia, that were on Donald Trump's list last Friday as being countries we were no longer going to accept people from for a period of time. And so, because they were on their way to Australia, now supposedly they were going to come to the United States, they would seem to be covered by this ban. But the Australians say, no, you said you would take these people. The Obama administration committed to take these people, and they're headed your way. So that's where we stand.
What does it all tell you, though, about Trump's approach to foreign policy to get into a fight with the leader of Australia, one of our closest allies?
Lindsey Graham, the senator from South Carolina, said this morning that our relationship with Australia could withstand or survive a phone call, and surely it will. But it does indicate a certain kind of pugnacity on the part of the new White House, and the president has been rough in talking to people. And this morning at the National Prayer Breakfast, he said, yes, he was having tough phone calls with people, but that was because we'd been taken advantage of by virtually every other country in the world, and that was going to stop.
He also said at the prayer breakfast this morning that he wanted to get rid of a law that restricts churches from engaging in political speech or activity. Let's listen.
I will get rid of and totally destroy the Johnson Amendment and allow our representatives of faith to speak freely and without fear of retribution. I will do that. Remember.
Ron, tell us about the Johnson Amendment, and is this really likely to happen, that he could get rid of it?
This is a piece of settled tax policy in the law since 1954. Lyndon Baines Johnson was in the Senate at the time, and it's called the Johnson Amendment. And it said that public charities, including churches, are not allowed to do direct politicking, to work directly for candidates, if they are tax exempt, which, of course, churches and public charities are. So take a choice. Either be an active political organization, set up a political action committee, and actually conduct your politics through that entity, or give up your tax status, which, of course, no public charity or church is inclined to do. So that has been the way the system has operated for over six decades. And Donald Trump did promise to get rid of that during his campaign.
One more thing, Ron. Most of Trump's cabinet nominees have either been confirmed or seem headed for confirmation. But the one that now seems to maybe be in question is Betsy DeVos, his nominee for education secretary. Yesterday, two Republicans, Susan Collins and Lisa Murkowski, said they'd vote against her. Where do things stand right now?
Those are still the only two Republicans against DeVos, the only two Republicans to stand up against any of Donald Trump's nominees for his cabinet. And at this point, they do not have a third Republican. If they can't get a third Republican, it'll be a tie vote of 50-50 next week, which would be broken by Mike Pence, who sits as president of the Senate, as vice president of the United States.
That's Ron Elving, NPR senior Washington editor and correspondent. Ron, thank you.
Thank you, Jeremy.